Hey, welcome listeners on the episode of Escape from Plan A for you. I'm your host Chris here with Adam. What's up, Adam?
Hello.
Happy President's Day to you, and I hope you've been spending it well.
Yeah, you know, just hanging out. Didn't have work today, so that was always good.
Well, that's good. I mean, have you had President's Days where you had to work?
Well, I don't know. For some reason, I'm just not used to having President's Day off. Maybe because I just don't, it's like a weird holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, no one really is like, oh, I'm looking forward to President's Day. Maybe for the sales, because there are a lot of sales, right? So.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even know there were sales. Well, it is the last holiday for a long time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a holiday desert or tundra is a more apt description. And then we got, what is it, Memorial Day?
Yeah, something like that.
Or is it Veterans Day? I don't know. One of those days in May, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. But speaking of presidents, did you see Truth Social, the new Donald Trump social media platform, came out today?
I've heard like rumblings of it and you know, people have opinions on it, but I didn't know it launched today.
Oh, I didn't know it was launching today. I was just on Twitter and I saw it and immediately I went up to sign up for it.
Okay.
And the thing is, it puts you on a wait list. And I mean, if we had Philip or Jong or Jess on, they could tell us. But to me, who doesn't know much about tech, that seems like a big failure. If you launch your product, you're like, oh, too bad. Here's my number is something like 109 or 1,000, something pretty large.
What I wonder what they're doing that for. Is it like...
My hunch is that their coding or whatever you call that is totally behind. It's probably like technology that's like 3 years out of date, but they probably wanted to time it with President's Day. So they launched though it's not ready. Anyway, our listeners, when it goes up, you can find me. I chose my handle as @haterandloser. It's probably just going to be a very laggy, low rent Twitter. I mean, why do we really need
another
social media micro blogging platform? But it's just funny because, you know, Trump, that is what he's going to do for the rest of his life. Just try to either get back on or get back at Twitter because that's all he cares about.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it going to be similar in style as Twitter, or is it just sort of microblogging like you said?
I have no idea. I don't really care. I am curious what it'll be like, though, what people will say, if he's even going to be on it.
I mean, it might be the only reason to be on it is to see his crazy tweets, because sometimes they're just hilarious.
Well, obviously. Like, I mean, you know what a big fan I am of his tweets. But I also think, like, if it has the stink of a loser platform, I think he'll be kind of embarrassed and not be on it. So maybe he'll just get one of his underlings to just pretend it's him. But, you know, it's only the best and finest for him, right? The most luxurious.
He can't be a loser on his own platform, so.
Yeah. All right, so with this episode, our last episode was on the Christina Yuna Lee murder, and we just thought that was a really heavy topic. And I know that Jong and Teen are talking with the people over at this like martial arts self-defense organization.
Yeah, I think they're called the Dragon Combat Club.
Yes,
I think Dragon that's what Combat it's called. Club.
I keep wanting to call them a Dragon Punch, which is not right. But
they'll teach you how to Dragon Punch, I guess.
Yes, yes. Well, anyway, that pod is going to happen sometime down the road, and you know, so there's going to be more on that front. But we thought, you know what? Why don't we at least try to lighten it up a bit? But just a few hours ago, apparently Russia has invaded Ukraine. I have no idea.
They did?
Well, I don't know. That's what some people are saying on Twitter, but I just don't know, because like Russia just inspires so much hysteria ever since 2016. I just don't know what's right anymore. And I think even if we wanted to, at least the two of us, I don't know anything about this. So it's not like we could even pot about it if we wanted to between the two of us. So
no.
Yeah. But this attempt to keep things a bit lighter is in the light of, you know, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea how to measure this. So we thought we would talk about various things. The Winter Olympics have just wrapped up, so we wanted to talk about just you know, how a lot of the American media is reacting to it. And it seems like the overall consensus was, oh, this Olympics sucked. This was, you know, worst Olympics ever, which is what the National Review literally said. But it's not just the right wing. You've got, the New York Times calling this like a joyless triumph for China, which I guess means they had to concede it was at least a triumph for China. But hey, it was not fun. So, you know, at what cost, right? But then
right.
a lot of people have been harping on the ratings, which is like, duh, what did you expect? I'm sure like the Tokyo Olympics were a ratings disaster as well. And I think I read a lot of those articles. And they're like acting as if these Olympics were like the hippest, most just cherished thing until now. And then everyone turned it back. No, the Olympics have been on a huge decline since, I don't know. Adam, what was like the last Olympics you genuinely enjoyed and were like felt
that I genuinely cared about?
Yeah. And you felt like others cared about. So it wasn't just like your own little weird thing.
It had to have been way back when I was like, you know, a teenager.
Shit. That's a long time ago.
When Michelle Kwan was skating.
Oh, yeah.
That was the last time I think I actually like, really
that must be that was the 90s and that was a long time ago.
That was like the last time I really cared like personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously people kept caring. I think like when Shaun White first, like when snowboarding was first introduced,
mm-hmm.
there was like a big surge I think of interest in America, and I remember thinking even cynically back then that that the United States had sort of pushed certain events to make them Olympic sports because we knew we were going to dominate them.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
And it was
going to
inflate our medal count. But now, you know, now with snowboarding and stuff, it's not dominated by the US anymore. So,
yeah, Japan is for some reason crazy good at it. But that's the thing about medal counts. I mean, who cares about the winter medal count? I'm going to look at it right now. I know
Norway probably has like 1,000 medals.
Well, they always do. It's always like Norway, Austria,
Germany. Germany is surprisingly dominant.
Well, Germany, I can see they do well the summers as well. Oh shit, Austria way down in 7. Anyway, yeah, it's always like Austria, Switzerland, Norway, and it's just like my rule is if Austria is number one in anything, except for maybe like early classical music, that ranking is irrelevant to anything worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah.
And not to hate on Australia. Not to hate on Austria. I've been there once. Salzburg, very nice city. But yeah, so, and it turns out like China beat the US by one gold medal. Again, who gives a damn? I think it's kind of funny that Eileen Gu's 2 gold medals.
Yeah. Tip the scale.
But again, it's so silly when countries try to one up each other on the medal count just because it's like, who cares? Nobody remembers. I mean, do you remember like anything from years ago?
No. I mean, I don't remember whether US won the medal count, didn't win the medal count. You know, I think maybe internally in some countries they use that more to sort of maybe you know, fund certain sports, or you know, I think maybe back when we were growing up, like it would help with getting funding for like women's sports, which is important, but I generally don't care that much. And I find it funny that like the Times was calling it a joyless Olympics. Like, well,
joyless,
like
for
you were
whom,
saying,
right?
Like, joyless for whom? I mean, the athletes are having a great time.
Athletes are having a great time. And I think the whole, well, this is what I've heard, you know, I haven't really done my own in-depth research on this, but this was mainly by China for China. And, you know, maybe the Chinese people really loved it. And that's all, like, they don't care that, like, you know, 100 million Americans didn't care. Plus, there was like the whole like time zone thing.
Yeah.
It was hard for us to watch. But so I read this Slate article today, which I was like, okay, you know what? There's like a lot of articles here floating around gloating about these low ratings, even though, as I said, these ratings have been on a steady decline for a while. And China put an ideological spin. It's like, yes, you know, this is a rebuke of Xi Jinping and everything. But he said, actually, if you count up all the like YouTube views, all the streaming data, it could possibly be one of the highest watched in recent memory. Again, I don't really care because I don't care about the Winter Olympics in general.
Right.
But I'm not the one also pretending that this is some aberration, like and a triumph for American ideology or whatever. And another thing that kind of like I roll my eyes at is this this like heightened outrage about the Russian women's figure skating team.
Yeah.
Which obviously it's like,
well, that one skater, really. I mean,
yeah, but like I kind of know the background about like that coach they have, and just what a harsh system she runs. And it's like, yeah, that kind of sucks. But it's also like, like the U.S. women's gymnastics team overlooked like years, if not decades, of sexual abuse. And for them to suddenly pretend that they're so outraged over Valieva and everything is like, I think what they're really, well, obviously there's the Russian geopolitics thing. I think what they're actually kind of pissed off about is that apparently no American woman has even gotten a medal since 2006.
No, the American
and that was a silver. That was a Sasha Cohen at, what was it, 06?
I don't remember.
Let's see. 02 was Salt Lake City. 06 was Turin.
Turin, in Italy. Yeah, the American women have been irrelevant and haven't really even been close. So,
yeah, so I think what they don't like is like the new scoring system, because it rewards jumping too much. And for various reasons, the American women can't compete as the Russians, along with the Russians. So I think what they really want is for the system to change back to the old ways where Americans were better at it for whatever reason. So not to say that there aren't things that ought to be changed, because I've heard that basically the problem with the Russian system is that it like takes these young girls and makes it depends a lot on like it's not about like being strong and muscular, but being as light as possible. Right. And it apparently the form they teach is like really bad. And that's why they all get injured and kind of get washed up at 17.
Yeah, well, that's bad. I mean, look, that's honestly bad. But, you know, the geopolitical aspect of the whole Russia Olympics thing is just, you know, and the IOC is not sort of, it hasn't covered themselves in glory.
Yeah, but we've known that for decades.
You know, we know that for decades. And I just find it strange that, like, we'll get so upset with the Russians like doping, but then we still allow them to compete. Like if it were as bad as people want to pretend it is, then they shouldn't be allowed to compete at all. But they're not going to do that, because then, you know, Russia is way too powerful and influential to do that.
You know, the British 4x100 men's relay team got their silver taken away for doping.
What, the swimming one?
No, the sprinters. Oh, so China got... Yeah, in the summer.
In track
Olympics.
And field.
Yeah,
oh.
4x100. Yeah. And China got upgraded from fourth to bronze. So
yeah, that's see, that's the thing. It's like they're all doing it, man.
Yeah.
It's so yeah, I was just sad for Valieva.
Valieva, because
she's 15, man. I mean, she's a child. And she's through the ringer, and then like her coach is screaming at her afterwards, and you know, it was all bad. And I'm like, who are we kidding? Mm-hmm. Who are we kidding here?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the end of the Winter Olympics. I mean, no Olympics during the COVID, even if it was like during the heyday of the Olympics, which maybe it was like the 90s. I'm not sure. It would have been kind of a weird thing. But, you know, these days, nobody cares. And yeah. It was just very irritating to see like all these publications trying to turn this into an idea. Like, I guess they lost on every front. No, there wasn't a COVID outbreak. No, there wasn't some, I don't know, other disaster. You know, Eileen Gu did very well. But it's like, focus on the happy stuff. There's some Asian American athletes did well too.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan Chen won the gold
American
medal
athletes,
finally.
I mean, but a lot of them happened to be Asian American. But like, but no, they gotta be miserable, like sour grapes bastards. So
they had to write weird articles like, why are there so many Asians in figure skating?
No, I thought that was a little bit overblown, honestly. They were like overrepresented. That's just simply a fact. It's like if you are
definitely
a certain percentage of the population, but you are bigger in a group, by fact, you are overrepresented. But some people...
No, it wasn't a big deal to me, but it was just, I think it was the weird phrasing, like vividly overrepresented or something. It was just a weird
sentence. I think it's a little purple prose. I think he or she, I don't know if it's a man or woman who wrote it, is just trying to say, it's kind of... it's very visible in as opposed to like behind the scenes. I mean, especially with like skating is a very individualistic, visible sport. You're not like bobsledders all in a helmet. You're like, it's all about presentation. But I mean, we kind of talked about in the previous episode about how Asian Americans can't really get mad at the stuff that really matters. So we redirect all our energy at this bullshit, whether it's about noodles or, you know, dresses or one word in some article that I think I didn't read it, but I think it was overall saying, hey, this is kind of cool. Yeah, but yeah, so
it wasn't a bad article. I just thought it was a funny thing. Mm-hmm. That's all.
All right, moving on. Okay, our friend Bill Maher had a segment recently called, like, you know, we should stop kowtowing to China. Adam, were you ever a fan of Bill Maher?
Maybe for like 5 minutes at some point. Wait, when I was like 15, you know, but a long time ago. I haven't been a fan of his in a long time. Like, I didn't grow up with HBO, so like I could never
neither did
really
I.
Watch his stuff. So I was aware of him and I knew he was sort of a comedian, but with the political streak. But even as an adult with like clips on YouTube and everything, I was never a big fan of his. He tried to make being smug and smarmy like a brand. I'm just like, that's not, I guess I used to maybe be a closer to him politically as a liberal, but I haven't been that way in a while. So even politically, I never felt like I had to defend him or he was never on my side.
Yeah, I always kind of admired him for saying, like, right after 9/11 that the hijackers weren't cowards, because that was the thing to say right after 9/11. Oh, these cowards, they just, you know, killed civilians. But he was saying, like, I think his exact line was like, no, we're the cowards for lobbing cruise missiles. Those guys, you know, they may be evil, they may be depraved, but certainly not cowards if they're committing suicide. Yeah. But lately, I don't know, every now and then I'll just like catch him on YouTube, because, you know, his little segment on Real Time is like 7-8 minutes long.
Right, the monologue, just, right? He calls it.
Well, the new rules section, I think that's okay. What it is. Or I think now it's just, I think you're right. I think it's just a monologue. And yeah, if you're just like eating and you just need to watch like 5 minutes or something, it's like a thing to do. But lately he's just sounding really like a old cranky guy.
Yeah, he's been that way for a while.
Whereas before he kind of gave more of a sense that he was kind of making fun of the old cranky guys, but now he's like, I can kind of sympathize with him when, you know, he talks about certain like social justice stuff gone overboard, or you know, how our pop culture now sucks or something. But even when his overall point is right, the way he does it just sounds way too like old man on porch. You know,
it's like, yells at cloud.
Yeah, you know, where are my dentures? You know, I need to complain. But anyway, he had this segment where it's all about how the US is like sucking up too much to China. And it gets off to a great start. And I actually appreciate him for saying this, because it just gets right to the point where he brings up Eileen Gu and he says like, oh yeah, China can steal our technology, can you know, harm us economically, take our jobs, but what they cannot absolutely do, where we draw the lines when they take our hot freestyle skiers, which I thought was like, thank you for just saying it out loud. I know some people are going to get mad at him for it, but at least he's saying what's on his mind. And he says something else that's like that kind of primitive but real thing later on. But I you know what I'm saying, what did you think, like, when you just said that out loud?
I mean, it's probably true, like you said, like he's being honest. It's creepy as hell, but I think it's very in line with what we've been seeing in other outlets, right? Maybe in a more angry tone, but, and he says it in a sort of jokey way, but Tucker Carlson and a lot of other pundits have said similar things. Like they're upset that she's hot and skis for China.
You're right.
So yeah, I mean, he was being honest, but I was like, I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm like, you're a little late to the game, you know, but he was being honest. It started out okay. And then he got worse and worse and worse, but.
I'm trying to run through my mind, because a lot of stuff he says is like very standard, like Reddit stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he complains about Peng Shuai. He complains about Daryl Morey. He complains
John Cena.
About John Cena. Who I want to get back to John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't think he complained about Blizzard. That would be very, very, very Reddit-like. But it's in the spirit of it. And a lot of it is about like movie censorship. He brought up some weird thing about Top Gun, which like, I'm sure nobody gives a shit about.
Looking at the patches on Cruise's back during Top Gun. That's something you notice when you've watched it like 100 times, like Bill Maher has probably.
But it's also like symbolic, right? And regarding John Cena, I thought this was another thing like about Eileen Gu, where he just said what why people are so upset, some Americans are about John Cena, is that they said if China can make basically like our macho action stars grovel like that, then we know we're their bitch. And he's like, right. Okay, that is exactly why some people are so upset about John Cena. And yeah, this guy just comes out and says it, which I
and in again, their own language, he says, in their own language.
Right. That's the added kicker. He's like, no. He's like,
yeah.
I could just sense Bill Maher saying, you know, when I was a little boy, you know, we said like Ching Chong and right, we got away with it. And it was them who groveled to us. It was their macho action stars whom we basically emasculated, which we, you know, that long trail history of that, where, mm-hmm. you know, all those, especially like those Hong Kong action stars came over here and they were just like ass clowns on in the media. And they're like, wait a minute, we're supposed to do that to you. You're not supposed to do that to us, mm-hmm. which, you know, makes me just look at this with some ha-ha, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, like, definitely.
You know, it's like, obviously not nice of China to do that to anyone, but, you know, you've been doing that to Asians for a long time. And if it's kind of like two shitty entities doing it to each other, I have no dog in this fight. And if anything, I am kind of rooting for the underdog in this sense.
Yeah. And there was another line that he had about John Cena, or I think related to other people like LeBron James. He brought up LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. Right? Reddit loves to hate LeBron James. And
And he was, I think Mar had another line. He was like, and you thought steroids made your balls shrink or something like that. And I'm like, okay, clever, a little crude.
Or was that LeBron or was that John Cena?
It was about John Cena.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, look, I love how people in the United States, especially someone like a Bill Maher, the majority of his media career has been on an outlet like, I guess, HBO, which really hasn't censored him at all. Like, he mm-hmm. could curse, he could talk about anything. But we've, like, network TV has its prohibitions. Like, you can't curse, you mm-hmm. can't, like, you know, it's not like United States media. For the home market, especially, is somehow this bastion of like complete freedom. It is not. So I find it very weird when like they point out like that China has censored or not censored, edited some scenes from Friends to make it so that I guess Rachel or one of the characters.
You said
forget.
That Ross's wife
is not a lesbian or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, is that great? No, it's not great. But it's not like the United States loves, like, you know, lesbians,
They do. Depends on what they look like and everything.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, of course.
The L Word was like, you know, was a hit show back in my day. But no, I think what you're getting at is, in the end, this is all about market power. And when the U.S. had dominant market power, it was great. And it made our gravity affected everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
Often probably to their a negative outcome for them. And now that gravity has shifted nowhere near what, like, when, you know, the US was like the sole superpower. And like, China has nowhere near that kind of power, but now it's a bit more, there's a bit more parity. And suddenly now market power is bad. That's why a lot of right wingers have suddenly discovered the evils of corporatism after decades of, you know, like, just being pro business to the hilt.
Right.
Now suddenly they've grown a conscience. You know, guys, maybe capitalism is kind of bad. And it's like, yeah, well, or like free trade, that's not good. And it's like, well, you know, what goes around comes around, basically.
That's right.
And
you live by the sword, you die by the sword, man.
Right. So I kind of want to go back to the Eileen Gu thing because this we never talked about, but a lot of people brought up the fact that why is Eileen Gu so hated by the U.S. whereas a lot of the American hockey players who played for China weren't. Mm. And maybe you could say, oh, it's just like misogyny, like women can't do that, but American men can. But then again, look at John Cena. Like, John Cena was, I guess it was like the whole apology thing, but you know, any time someone like him is seen as being too friendly with China, they like attack him. So I think what's really going on here, the difference between like an Eileen Gu and those hockey players is that, well, first of all, those hockey players were no good to begin with.
Right.
Like
right.
You got Chris Chelios' son who played in
Jake Chelios.
Jake Chelios.
He played for China.
Yeah, first of all, what a fail son, because Chris Chelios
is a Hall of Famer.
Love him or hate him, is one of the greatest defensemen of all time. Yeah. A legend who played until he was like 50 almost. And his son only can play in the KHL, the Russian pros, which, you know, I'm sure is a fine league, but it's nowhere near as good as the NHL. So what's going on? Like, you know, that's a fail son right there. But I think the difference is, firstly, like we weren't sending our best.
No.
This was like our dregs. And I think the perverse kind of, in fact, any kind of pride, because I read some articles where those hockey players were like, yeah, we've had a great experience. And you know, I obviously hockey's over now, but I didn't hear any. Like, I think the U.S. like won just like 8-0 or something, and I heard no real bitterness. I think everyone just had a good time. Everyone knew that U.S. was way better, so it's like it wasn't like some upset, or so it wasn't like the, what do you call it, the Miracle on Ice or the Summit Series. So yeah, I think everyone had a good time, and I think it was because and the reason there was no bitterness was, one, it wasn't the best Americans we sent over, but I think there was also this perverse pride that, huh, the worst of us is still better than the best of them, especially in kind of right. like a manly sport like ice hockey. So I right. think there was this, on the Americans, there was like no real need to be bitter about it, because it's like, you know, we kind of didn't want these guys anyway, and they're teaching those like little chinks how to play a real man sport. You know, it's like that's kind of, and even when they do, we crush them anyway. So, you know, no harm, no foul. And if anything, it just exerts our superiority. Whereas with like an Eileen Gu, this was supposed to be like, as Bill Maher just blatantly said, it's supposed to be our hot freestyle skier. You know, if anything, like the John Cena, In the movie that plays in their minds, the John Cena is supposed to go to China and rescue her and bring her to America, and she becomes like she like falls in love with America and you know, renounces backwards, disgusting China. That's the movie that's supposed to play in their head,
and
everyone else's, but kind of didn't work that way. Eileen Gu represented China, succeeded very well, and John Cena is apologizing in Mandarin.
But you're right. I mean, I think we probably said it before, but I think it's because she's good that everyone cared, right? And she came through, and she's beautiful and really smart. You know, she's gonna go to Stanford, and if she had been a failed daughter like Jake Chelios, then no one would have given a fuck, because first of all, hockey is like, you know, probably even below it's not below MLS, but it's
I don't know, I think they're like kind of neck and neck. Are they neck and neck
now? Because MLS got up. But because no one cares about hockey in the United States.
It's the Zlatan effect.
Yeah maybe. But no one cares, right? And as legendary as Chris Chelios is as a player, I think it's just because we're sports guys.
Plus, I'm I was a hockey guy growing up. The average American doesn't know who Chris Chelios is.
Right. And you're from Canada. No, but like Chris Chelios, I don't know, I'm just a sports guy, so I know Chris mm-hmm. Chelios. But yeah, like it's because she's good. And she's all those things, and the narrative about how like no, that person should be choosing America, and because they're not, it's much more of a, like an existential crisis than if it's just someone that we don't care about in a sport we don't care about, not representing us. Like, we don't want them anyway. So
yeah. There's another thing in his segment that I thought was very funny. This was another just like thing of his kind of old man-ism now, where he was like, is this what's cool these days? You know, being pro-China and anti-America. I thought all you, hippity-hop Gen Zers were supposed to be all about, you know, LGBTQ rights. Well, did you know that China hates gay people, and that's why they censor Ross's ex-wife, you know?
Right.
which I thought was really funny, because I think, and this is why I see a lot of kind of like right-winger types think, they think that being supportive or sympathetic to China is the woke position, but it's really not.
That's not
because,
at all. Yeah.
And we see it a lot because, you know, we're more active in like the Asian American spaces. You know, when we think of woke, we think about like social justice influencer types. Yeah, I mean, at best, being anti-China is bad because Asian Americans get caught in the crossfire. But
right,
I think the standard woke position is that China is worse than the U.S. That the U.S., for all their faults, is still better than China. So just because, they always harp on, you know, American imperialism and all that, and they are wary of Sinophobia to the extent that it harms Asian Americans. But I think their framework is Asian Americans are like the good Asians, the ones who sometimes literally escaped Asia, but, you know, at least figuratively are, have escaped from the clutches of whatever they call it. They call it kind of like Confucian or patriarchal or are hyper-capitalist or religious or overly religious or just Puritan or whatever they characterize Asia as. And they're able to synthesize kind of like the best of both worlds. But I don't think by any means it's woke to be pro-China.
I'd agree. I think the woke position is to be pretty anti-China in a lot of ways because of those things you mentioned. Like, you know, they don't like LGBTQ. They don't, you know, they're authoritarian. They're not as free.
Well, that's true let's say, a lot of Islamic, like fundamentalist Islamic countries, or even like supposedly secular Islamic countries, but it is woke to kind of protect those countries in a way that it's not China. And I think that has a lot to do with just like American conceptions of race and, you know, basically the yellow people not being given the same sympathy as, you know, like the Muslim people. Well, you know, they think of it as like a racial group. Yeah, it's like you go to any woke space and, you know, they're not going to like it when Trump went on and on about China, you know. But if you ever hear the standard woke crowd list all the crimes he committed against minorities, you know, through his words, they would say the Mexicans, blacks,
the Muslim ban,
Muslims,
right?
Yeah. Women, even like white women. But nobody ever mentions China because in their minds, I think like, yeah, they kind of deserve it.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, like I would even say with in terms of the Middle East, like I don't think it's necessarily a woke position to defend any of those countries or to.
I do think there is a lot of, because like those things you said about why the woke or like the social justice crowd won't outright support China because it's authoritarian, because it's like patriarchal. That goes exactly for a lot of Islamic countries, but
sure,
I think there is, because it's all tied up with the Palestine thing, I think it is
true. Often
kind of like social suicide to bring that up. And you can tell because, like, I don't know, I just don't see a lot of outrage among these people about, like, say, a lot of shit that goes on in a place like Pakistan or, you know, other countries like that.
Unless
they're, I think, very, very kind of like feminist and they care most, like the thing they care about most are like women's rights above any other concerns. I think some of those people bring it up. But I think those people also run the risk of being, oh, you just doing the carrying water for the imperialists and all that. Whereas when it comes to Asian countries like China, there will be something like, oh, did you know that, you know, on like some like social media, some actress got like a dick pic or something, which is really not at the level of, say, like a Pakistani woman getting acid thrown in her face, but it's kind of played at the same level.
Right.
Because they like, you know, the yellow race doesn't have that kind of woke protection. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I think just Bill Maher doesn't know what...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bill Maher types, like, you know, honestly, like, think that...
They think any... Yeah. They think like anyone who I don't know, criticizes America is woke or something like that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay, yeah. So that's Bill Maher. And then something else we want to talk about. So there's this new thing apparently coming out called Joy Sauce, which I think it's actually very adorable how hopelessly lame they are. Did you watch that video that's on their website?
Oh, God, no. Okay. I didn't even know they had one.
Yeah, I had trouble finding them because when I typed in Joy Sauce, it's actually a Filipino-American San Diego wedding photographer who was like the first couple of hits. So in her Discord, I'd be like, can somebody please send me the direct URL? Because somebody had told me that there was this cringe video starring George Takei. I watch it and just like, I mean, do they honestly think, who is this going to appeal to? It's just like status quo Asian American culture is terminally uncool.
Yeah.
And I think the whole motto of the site is, and I think they say this, like, no politics, we're just trying to be happy.
Joy Sauce.
Yeah. And then, you know, some people have criticized that name, saying it kind of sounds like, mm-hmm. I can say it here, but, you know, just mm-hmm. use your imagination. You're all thinking it. I'm not the perverted one here. But, and it's just, it. Remember Yum Yum F? You offend, what was it? What does that sound for? You offend me.
You offend my family.
Or something like that. Yeah. I remember that coming out like 10-ish years ago. I think it was supposed to be this. It's something similar. I think.
Okay. Yeah. So from Jeff Yang?
I think it was backed by Justin Lin. But I think he quickly abandoned it.
Jeez.
I don't know anything worthwhile that came out of it. Not even like a measly like viral video. And I don't know, this just kind of has the same flavor. It has that like Banana Mag, Yum Yum F, just this vague, neutered, happy-go-lucky type of, just, you know, it's nothing.
And it was such bad timing, because like I think it came out like right like a week after the Christina Yuna Lee murder.
Right, and, or like sandwiched in between that and Shoko. And let's
people
not forget,
were still sort of like grappling, because honestly, I'm still grappling with, you know, Michelle Goh and Christina Yuna Lee, and there's Ely, and there's all, and so many people, right?
Yeah.
And so many attacks. So like, it's like every day there's a new one.
Yeah, it's like, teehee, let's not be political. This is okay. I'm sure like a lot of these, I saw like some people like retweeting this, and I think they might be the types who would be like, so, you know, subtle Asian traits is so cringe and all that. I mean, this is basically subtle Asian traits,
but for
website.
Older people,
or
it's
or
like
maybe
for
that.
Old people, right?
And it's just like,
yeah.
Why is Asian America so uncool? It's just hopeless, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not, there's obviously we can't just be, following this sort of depressing news all the time, and not, you know, I'm not saying that we can't have fun or be happy or any of this stuff, right? It just, when you're announcing like a project, you have to be just smarter about this stuff. And what's also really funny is that this was the same group of people who tried to launch Yolk like a year ago.
You mean relaunch Yolk, right? Because that was something from the 90s, right?
Yeah, but they didn't. But so they got roasted because they didn't even know that Yolk had existed. The other
Yolk.
So they had to like immediately stop, and then they came back. Like I guess they waited like long enough, or maybe thinking that like people had forgotten about Yolk, and then they came out with Joy Sauce, and then people were like, people just have receipts, right? Because like the group of people that came out with this, I think is Cranky Huang is part of this, right?
Yeah, she's, I think, one of the, like, if not the lead editor, which, you know, says everything.
So, like, people hate her and other people involved with her. So, like, they keep the receipts. So, as soon as Joy Sauce was announced, they're like, this you? And they go back to the whole Yolk failed launch. So, it's just, I don't know. I think the reason why they have to try to keep doing this is because they need to try to come up with something that's more permanent than their guest columns or their own little podcast, and because this is their livelihood, so they have to try to launch something that might have broader cultural relevance and live on so they can get paid, but they're just so uncool, they're not cool, so no one cares.
Or you know what cool is, remember that you know that Simpsons episode, the Hullabalooza episode, where
Homer
becomes a freak at the... I know. No. Okay. Then I can't make this joke. But anyway, in the end, Marge like is so desperate to be cool And she's like asking her kids, like, am I cool kids? And they're like, no. And she says, well, that's what makes me cool, right? Not caring. They're like, no. And then it just ends with Homer and Marge trying to figure out how to be cool. And obviously it's like, he's like, you can't try. You know, if you try, you're going to fail. Yeah. But so you know what? At least if it's not cool, that's fine. At least be entertaining, be something. But it just, I just saw some of the, you know, stuff that was in that video. It just seems like that same type of self-esteem bullshit. And you know, nothing interesting will get said because it's all about making sure everyone's feelings are carefully, you know, protected and it's aimed at, you know, the type of Asian Americans who, like, you know, was ashamed of being Asian until they were like 25 or, you know, that kind of garbage. And just like, do they honestly think this is going to succeed? I don't know what's worse, that this is all a cynical attempt to swoop up some, I don't know, maybe a very Asian got a influx of, you know, billionaire donations from Asian dude who owns the LA Times. So they're like, okay, we got to disperse it somehow. Let's pay ourselves these salaries for a project we know is going to fail. Or do they honestly think this is going to succeed? Honestly, I don't know which one is worse.
I don't know. It is what it is. Again, like, you know, it's, I sort of saw it. I was like, oh, this is funny. I'm not going to, it's not for me. And I sort of just ignored it. You know, I mean, there are a lot of more important things to talk about but to just concentrate on. And if I'm looking for something to like occupy my time with stuff I enjoy, that is not going to be on my list. Just it's not. So
if my memory serves me correctly, I think one of the first Plan A, you know, kind of like calls which everyone was on, I think one of the first things we were like, we are not. Two things we're not going to do. One, name ourselves after food.
Yep.
And two, name ourselves like Asian anything, like collaboration or amazion or imagination. Mm-hmm. Like those two, we're not doing that. We're going to go like totally abstract. And, you know, Plan A is kind of abstract.
It is.
It kind of really doesn't have anything to do with Asianness. And I, for one, am very proud of that. Not because... I want to distance myself, but it's so fucking lame to name yolk. Like,
yeah, dude.
Well, I guess they didn't name themselves egg. That would have been really, really bad. At least yolk is.
Yeah. Yellow. Yeah, but even if it's food, right? It has to be yellow. It has to be something like that. Like, there's banana. The bananas banana are yellow. Meg. Yolk. The yolk is yellow.
Mochi Meg. I don't know if they're still around, but I remember they were around when we yellow. Kind of we started. And it's just like, why are we naming ourselves after food all the time, you know?
Well, you wouldn't know it's Asian, right?
That's true, yeah. But it's just so low level.
But on the topic of things that we're enjoying.
Yes, let's be positive. Yeah, let's move on to positivity. Try to be positive. For the last stretch of this episode, as I said, we're trying to make this episode a bit lighter. So let's end on a positive note. And Adam, this was your idea. I just want to talk about some stuff that's like we're reading or watching and we're enjoying. So why don't you start something that's occupying your time in a good way?
So I guess I'll start with stuff I'm watching. And I think it's also fun because Eliza watches this as well, is the show on HBO Max, Peacemaker.
Oh, I heard good things about it.
John Cena is in it.
The great John Cena.
The great John Cena. The amazing, great John Cena. But it's by James Gunn, who had directed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which I think are the best Marvel movies because they're just not serious, right? It's like he's making a movie about a team that has a talking raccoon, a talking tree, and is flying in space. Like they're in goddamn space. Like make it fun, man. Like why are you taking it so seriously? So that's really good. And I think just John, it's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous show. It's really funny. It's short. It just ended with 8 episodes. We'll see if it continues, but I really enjoyed it. I've also been, playing the game Lost Ark.
Oh, I heard that was good.
Yeah. So, when we were talking earlier about Truth Social and how you had to, wait to get on it because there are probably only like a few thousand people who want to join. But Lost Ark had to scramble because they had like 1.5 million people trying to get in and play it all at the same time. So it's been fun. I mean, it's a South Korean video game, and it's sort of like, I don't know if people are familiar with Diablo.
I'm sure they are.
Or Warcraft, the original Warcraft, not
So it's a strategy game?
No. So I'm talking about, so it, that's the perspective. Like, it's like in game speak, it's isometric. So
oh, yeah,
it's
like a classic
from top down
RPG type.
Yeah, and but it's a multiplayer. It's an MMO like World of Warcraft. It's free to play. It's really good. It's a lot of fun.
What makes it better than the other many MMOs out there?
I like the style of it, like the isometric. So it's like you're looking down and, you know, your little character is running around. It's very colorful. There are a lot of different options of like character you can play with different weapons, and, you know, so there's magic and guns and bows and just, you know, martial artists. There's like a distinctly Asian feel to it. So it feels like it was made in Korea. Like, it doesn't feel like it was made by Americans, which is a little refreshing. It's just fun, you know, I don't know. And it's new. So I think probably because there's a new factor to it. That's what I've been, watching. And doing.
I mean, playing.
And playing.
I'm actually playing Knights of the Old Republic too.
Oh, that's a classic.
It's all right. It's like I've kind of gotten more into it now that the problem with these games is before you get a lightsaber, it's just very boring. Like, I hate the idea of vibroblades, but obviously without them, I guess it's like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea of just this random Sith trooper with a metal sword being able to even stand a chance against my double bladed lightsaber. Just not right. But anyway, I just bring that up because I started it like a long time ago. I barely remember the story. I don't really care. I just like going around killing people with lightsabers. So I've been doing that. I've been reading We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is a great novel. I've been very enjoying it. Do you know anything about this? There was a pretty well-received movie made a little while ago.
No,
I haven't
heard of it.
But okay, so this is about a mom whose child commits a school shooting.
You know what? Yeah, I think I've heard of this.
And I just really like this book because I just like it when, you know, you get into the mind of someone who's just, you know, not like a particularly good person. And it's all from the perspective of the mom, not the school shooter. But the mom is like, you know, she never liked this kid because he obviously has mental issues. She never wanted a kid in the first place. Her husband, oh my God. I don't know if I've ever hated a character as much as I hate her husband.
Oof.
He's like this kind of, you know, rah-rah conservative Americana kind of guy. And he just like obviously sees their son as him. And he's just like overlooking the just obvious psycho shit that their son is doing. He's barely... The mom stays at home, gives up her job. She it basically made a book kind of like The Lonely Planet. She would go on these like low budget travels all over the world and write about where to go and where to eat on a budget. But she had to give all that up because she had this kid. So she stays at home with this psycho devil's, you know, basically Damien from the Omen.
Oh, geez.
And the dad always takes the kid's side, no matter like how many like little kids he, you know, he tortures and stuff like that. And oh my God, I can't remember like another character I've hated as much as him. Hopefully I'm not giving this book away, but I'm really enjoying it. So that's highly recommended, especially if you like just kind of like twisted books. Speaking of twisted, watching season 3 of You, which we may do a pod on because Teen is a big fan of this show and I've been enjoying it. Again, it's about, people probably know it's about this like stalker, psycho, serial killer who gets obsessed with these women, but people kind of side with him, which is kind of a funny thing. Because what the show does really well is it skewers the society of various kind of like subcultures. The first season was lampooning kind of the New York literary scene. Second one was like LA influencer culture. And season 3 is kind of like that California influencer culture, except now they're like mommy bloggers and Silicon Valley dads and, you know, that kind of type. That's why I think people sympathize with the serial killer protagonist, because, hey, yeah, he's a murderer, but yeah, the people kind of suck. I don't mind if some spoiled MFA girl or some, like, I don't know, Silicon Valley douchebag gets knifed. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, it'll be fun when you guys talk about it. I should probably, I mean, there's so many shows to watch, but it's probably one I can binge. Mm-hmm. You know, I've also been watching, just binging the Stargate TV shows.
Like the old one from the 90s?
The original one. Yeah, the original
that's the guy
one
with MacGyver, right?
Yeah. And so that show had like eight or nine seasons. And then I've been watching the Stargate Atlantis, which is the spinoff. I'm into these like just crappy, you know, late 90s, early 2000s sci-fi TV shows.
Where are you
TV
watching
shows.
This? Is it on Hulu or something?
It's on Hulu, yeah. Okay. I think the original Stargate was on Netflix or maybe on Hulu. But I know Stargate Atlantis is on Hulu. So I've been catching up on that. And then also the show, The 4400. I don't know if it's another like crappy sci-fi show. So, I don't know. I like these like just they're so bad, but they're like good.
Well, speaking of bad, I think it's a movie. I kind of want to watch the Anna Delvey movie, the one that I don't know if Shonda Rhimes directed it or wrote it or produced it. But it doesn't
She was that like scam artist, right?
Yeah, she was the scam artist in New York City. I don't know. It just seems. I know it's going to be bad, but I have a feeling it's going to be like bad that it's good, not bad that it's painful.
Right, right. But it's also sort of kind of like what you were saying about people who side with the serial cult killer and you. Like when I was reading about the whole Anna Delvey thing, I'm like, she's scamming like rich idiots. Like I don't feel that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, there was a thing I saw on Twitter. Did you hear about this Tinder swindler guy?
Well, there's a TV show on it now.
Well, it's based on a real story.
That's No, I know it's based on a real story, but...
Okay. So there was this, I think it was in The Independent, was asking, why are we not sympathetic, or why are we less sympathetic to victims of romantic dupes as opposed to victims of someone like Anna Delvey?
Right.
Which I think that's kind of flawed in that nobody feels sorry for the dupes in either case, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the case, right? But like, I would have much more sympathy for someone who's sort of catfish or something if they were like someone who had like a sympathetic background. Like some of those catfish people, I'm like, wow, that was really a jerk move to catfish this person. But if they're just sort of like, I don't know, just... naive and dumb, I don't know. I don't necessarily have sympathy or not have sympathy.
Yeah, I think it's just also, if you're duped romantically, I think it depends on, I think the problem with the Tinder swindler, I don't know that many facts about this case, but the guy who scammed them all was a guy pretending to be the heir of like a diamond fortune.
Okay.
So I think the thing is people are like, okay, he sucks, but you were kind of only into him for his money anyway. And not only that, which is like fine, if you like people with money, that's not the biggest crime in the world. But it's also like, were you really that dumb that you honestly thought that this supposed diamond heir would constantly hit you up for like massive loans because he had no money? And then I think he made up some story about being chased by some international crime. It was just ludicrous. So I think it's a combination of how are you so stupid to fall for this? And also your intentions of liking him in the first place did not mark you as the most admirable person.
Right. And when did this swindling happen?
I assume in the last few years. It probably didn't just happen. I think it was fairly recent.
And in the age of like the Nigerian prince
that's what everyone
scam
liked too,
being
yeah.
like a known thing, why do you like...
Yeah, I think if you know when you scam the elderly, like everyone hates the scammer because it's like you're preying on a genuinely vulnerable people who, at worst, just wanted some company or whatever. But I think if you're like a healthy adult with supposedly with your mental faculties supposedly at their height, it's like then we're gonna judge you if you are too stupid to live.
Right. And look, obviously what this guy did was criminal. And, you know, if he was he caught or like they probably caught him, right?
Well, yeah, he got caught. That's why they're like, I guess they know his identity and yeah, everything.
So he should be punished to the extent of the law, whatever, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a difference between criminal and wrong. Often, not often, true. But, you know, it's not unusual.
It's wrong. I mean, I think it's wrong to, like, you know, defraud people and be a con artist. It's that's wrong. But it's different than, yes, than like you were saying, like when it's someone who's, you know, like an elderly person who's, you know, preying on the vulnerable and is bad. Like that's much worse than like just preying on someone who's not that vulnerable. Mm. I mean, I saw it. I was like, it'll probably be entertaining, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, but, I mean, this pod, I think we're gonna wrap up soon. Got some time. Maybe I'll go watch that bad Anna Delvey movie. Maybe it's worth a pot. I have no idea.
Who knows? I mean, that was a fun story, that whole Anna Delvey thing, I have to say.
The thing is, I tried to look up how she did it because I was just curious.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's just about I think if you lie so much that people just believe it, because it's like, if you go to a store and you're trying to buy like a $50 item and you try to scam out of that, people are like, no, fuck that bullshit. But you go to like some jewelry store, and like, oh yeah, you know, I'll send you that like $500,000 for that diamond bracelet. You know, just call my accountant or whatever. That's like the lies, and especially if you look the part, the lie is so grand. They'll just be like, oh sure, because I'm sure
that happens.
People with that kind of money are very just flippant and careless about their money, so they're not going to be carrying around exact change or whatnot. So,
right. Well, yeah, and that type of thing would probably happen. Like, it's not like the first time that's happened, right?
Yeah.
Where someone's like, oh yeah, you know, I'll call you later with it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, from what I read, she just said she had money and people believed her. There wasn't anything that devious about it. I don't know. Maybe there is more to it, but at least from the stuff I read, it was just, I guess she just looked like a rich girl. So nobody questioned it. Plus, it's like very crass, I guess, at that societal level. To be like, well, you know, give us your tax returns,
right,
which are probably all bogus anyways.
Right? So like, prove it, and I from what I've read about her, what I know about it, she was kind of like doing the pyramid scheme of cons. Like she would just like play one person off the other, or like she would use another person to like help pose for the next person. It was funny. I don't know. I found it funny.
Mm-hmm. All right. Unless you have anything to add, I think we can add it. We can stop it here. Yeah. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, we just had a fun time doing a potpourri. Callan, or is it Colin? Colin, Callan, that app.
Colin.
Colin, right? Because you're calling in. I don't know. It's pronounced. It's spelled C A L L I N. So like, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
I can see why. Yeah, you think that. Yeah.
They just launched their Android app. So you know, for the Android folks, you know, you can go on now and listen to Trevor's show. And I think we're still sort of mulling over whether we're going to do our own little show on there. But
right. So keep an eye out for that. We may start doing in Colin Callan. I think you're talking about a guy, like a name, like Colin, but I don't know. Maybe it's like the fad now, Callan. Maybe it's some ancient Gaelic name, and everyone's like naming their sons Callan.
Well, it's called Call In because it's not gimmick, but a good feature is that you can have people call in to your radio show.
It's Clubhouse. It's basically Clubhouse.
Yeah. It's Clubhouse, but the new feature is that like a radio show back in the day, you could have callers. And you could have people call in.
Oh, like
to the
like
show.
Actually call in.
Yeah.
From
so it's C A L L space I N. Right. You're gonna call into the show, but they just combined it to make it a single word.
Oh, just to cap things off with a super happy thing. Did you watch the Spurs City match?
Oh my God, I didn't. But my brother texted me right after. He's like, "You've got to watch this."
Oh, yeah.
So I watched the highlights, and it was just crazy. It was awesome.
I was awesome. Not going to watch it. Honestly, I expected to get stomped at least like 4-0.
Yeah.
But I was doing something else, and then I checked the score, And it was about 30 minutes in. We were 1-1. And not only that, we had scored the first goal.
Yeah.
And it was Kluszewski who scored the first goal. I'm like, oh, great. You know, because
I wanted him
to get a good start. I'm like, hey, maybe we got a shot. And then, well, it was a big dramatic victory. And from the Leicester match, I knew not to stop watching until the final minute.
That's right.
And the funniest thing I thought was after Mahrez scores this penalty, all the City players run back with the ball. Mm-hmm. Which in effect just hastened their demise. Yeah.
Kulusevski scored the first goal. He assisted on the final goal.
He was good. Bentancur was, I think he has to realize it's not Serie A. This is a Premier League. You don't have that much time. But he lofted the ball to Kulusevski, who made that great cross to Kane.
Right.
It restored my faith. The last few weeks have not been good for Spurs fans.
Not at all.
Yeah, but this is a nice reminder that, you know, when we're healthy and we're on the same page, we're actually quite good.
Yeah, and I was joking with my brother that, like, you know, some people will probably be like, oh, we need to keep Kane. And as good as Kane was in that game and as good as he can be, I feel like he's more valuable to the club to sell him for, you know, £120 million and... you know, just buy more players. He's just one guy. So.
I think we got to keep him. I think because I think all the top teams are going to go for the younger guys more. And
he's not even that old, but he's 28.
Yeah, but he's at the point where he's not going to have much resale value.
That's true. Yeah.
So why not keep him? He's still young enough, him and Son, to build around. We got the rest of the team is quite young.
That's true.
And let's try to win something with him. Like what? Who would we even sell him to? I don't think anyone.
I don't know.
Honestly, Chelsea is probably the most likely, just because I don't think they can afford like the Haalands or whatever.
They're not going to get Haaland.
I think he's going to probably Barcelona or something. And no,
that would make my brother Lukaku really happy.
It's not working out. So, you know, I wouldn't, but obviously Levy is never going to sell them Kane. He would rather commit suicide before that happens.
Yeah,
so
I
say keep Kane. Let's go all in. Let's try to win something with him. With him, Son, let's make something of this.
Yeah, I mean, they've got probably 2 years left in the window. And with Conte, they've got the right coach. So
I don't know. I could see Kane. I mean, I don't want let's end this because I don't want to talk too much about soccer, but I could see Kane becoming like a good 34, 35 year old. Son, I think, is always evolving. Once he starts losing his speed, I think he has enough tools to still be a very, very good player. And then,
he's a very smart player. It's underrated because he just has so much pace.
But. Yeah. And then like Romero, Kluszewski, Bentancur, all these guys are like early 20s. Guys like Sessegnon might suddenly become a star. I don't know. I think there's a lot of, you know, Emerson's also very young. He's only like, what, 22, 23?
Yeah, no, he's been impressive to me.
Yeah, so a lot of young players. So
yeah.
I think we could get a good mix of like veterans and people in their prime.
We'll see.
Okay, so anyway, I hope you enjoyed this somewhat lighter episode after a string of heavier episodes. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, everyone.
Bye.